We're now in the 50 days of rejoicing, sort of a little foretaste of heaven, and it ends with the Feast of Pentecost, which is the climax. And so we begin this week, every day this week, we have two special readings that are just for the day. We have Peter's speech in Acts, and then we have this text in Matthew. After that, we'll begin the story of the church, the story of Christ in his church through time. We'll read from the Acts of the Apostles. And for the most part, we'll read John's Gospel. And what we'll read first is the treatise on baptism, John 3. Then the treatise on the Eucharist, John 6. Then other texts which treat of other dimensions of our Lord's presence. Again, you see, it's to give us instruction now. During Lent, we got instruction on how to live the gospel life, the meaning of the Passion, the theology of the Passion, mostly from John, that is a work of the Trinity. And also our Lord's own inner feelings, sort of a sacrament of his own soul. All those texts where we saw Jeremiah persecuted, the Psalms, the suffering just man, Psalms. Now we see Christ glorious, living in us, in the church. And that will be to take us up to Pentecost. Now it starts today, as I say, this first week is all about various manifestations of Jesus. We have Peter's speech at Pentecost as the first reading, mostly because it proclaims the resurrection. And you see, Peter says, "My brothers, one can confidently say to you about the patriarch David that he died and was buried, and his tomb is in our midst to this day. But since he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants upon the throne, he foresaw and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ." There is a way that if we understand this Psalm 16, "I saw the Lord ever before me." I saw him. David saw him. He wasn't incarnate yet, but he was present to his people. And he understood that his Holy One would not see decay. And that's what Peter understands in the power of the Holy Spirit, what that refers to. In the Gospel, we have the theme that we're going to see over and over again in this time, especially this first week. It's the theme of meeting. Of meeting our Lord. And so the Gospel picks up at verse 8, the story at the beginning. You know, they go out to the tomb, they're on their way, and then there is this huge earthquake, as it were. The soldiers are just overwhelmed. And they go and they see the messenger. And he says, "Go and tell my brothers, to go to Galilee." Notice first how the resurrection restores everyone who wants it to a relationship to Jesus. He's telling these fellows who left me, including Peter who betrayed me, "You're my brothers." The resurrection restores, you see, and can take sin out of our lives. You know, it's not Paul's famous text in the letter to the Romans. He died for our transgressions, and he was raised for our justification. Forgiveness of sins comes through the resurrection. It comes because it means that our lives are replaced by the life of Christ, and that's forgiveness of sin. You see, it's not just, well, we broke a law, and now Jesus pays the parking ticket, so we're okay. No, it's the very presence of the life of Christ in us. That's the forgiveness. And it begins, you see, here in this text to talk about, as I'll try to show you in a minute, this notion of the meeting with Christ. That's the fruit of the resurrection. And that's the normal Christian life. To meet Jesus. To know Jesus. To somehow know that presence in our life. To know Him and to know that it's He. That's the grace of the resurrection. It does, you see, replace our sin with His life. And it reaches down. Not just an affirmation and loyalty to the facts and so forth, but a transformation of our life to know Jesus, to meet Jesus. That's all the fruit of the resurrection, and that's the grace of this Easter time, is to meet Jesus, to know Him. And it's always His initiative. The texts always say He showed Himself. He manifested Himself. As I tell my students, you know, Jesus is not a UFO. You catch sight of Him. Oh, there He goes. Every manifestation of Jesus is because He wills it. You don't catch Him. You see what that does to all these theories about prayer? Sit on the floor, breathe deep, cut your carrots at 45-degree angle, and you'll catch sight of Jesus. No. No. Believe in Him. Accept His forgiveness of sins. Seek His face. And He'll show Himself to you. It's always His act. You cannot force Jesus to show Himself. They're on the way away from the tomb. And they're filled, it says on the part... No, it's not in our text. Anyway... They're filled with fear and joy. They just saw angels who told them, Jesus is alive. The tomb, there it is. There's the stone rolled back. Nobody in there. And this message from angels, go tell his brothers. So that's awesome. It doesn't happen every day. So they're filled with fear. But the deeper reality is, even that witness of the angels impresses their spirit. And they know somehow that He's alive. They know it already. The beginning of Easter faith. And on their way to tell the disciples. And Jesus meets them. And my goodness, I just noticed our translation. And greeted them. He said, Charite! Rejoice! Of course, that's the greeting in Greek all the time. Hello in Greek is always chere. But he didn't say hello, how are you, you know, how's your husband? I mean, he said rejoice. Don't you? Human life will never be the same again. This whole universe will never be the same again. By raising me from the dead, my Father has changed the whole structure of the cosmos. And given you a meaning for your existence you could never have. You will be with me forever. Charite, rejoice. I know this is going on. We got Iraq and we got Iran and we got Sudan and we got... That's right. But they're not out of the Lord's control. And if we will let the Lord come and meet us, show Himself to us, then we have the deepest solution to all these problems that we could share with others. And that's the grace. And so we'll see day by day that the grace of Easter is the grace of meeting. Meeting Jesus. And it's a grace. It's a grace. It's a free gift. You know, by the mercy of God, we got out of bed this morning and got here. And He greets us. He greets us in the Word. He greets us in His body and blood. He greets us. And He will give us this knowledge. He will meet us. He will show Himself to us. Today?
Sure.
And that's the joy of Easter. It isn't, you know, like we're trying to stay happy for 8 days because George Washington founded the country. No. See, our Lord is with us. You know, when we study the Gospels, we have to keep remembering that they're written about a living Lord, not a revered dead master. This is Jesus meeting us.